America Weekend.
I'm a beast, I'm a dog, because I am a beast, I'm a dog, because I am.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalecki along with
Christina Stoffo.
All right. So you eat things and you don't know what you're eating. Do you ever really think about what you're eating?
Well, now I do. But I think for the most part, people don't. I think people will just see, so, you know, diet or, you know, organic or healthy on a label and just...
And assume it's good for
them. Believe that it's good for you.
And assume it's pure.
Right.
And it's anything but pure, as we're about to find out.
Oh, boy.
Nine disgusting things you didn't know you've been eating your whole life. We got this from the Huffington Post. Here we go, folks. The first one, human hair.
I'm so grossed out right now.
Where would you think you would find human hair?
Okay, when I first read this list, this was number one, and I was like, so funny. But a lot of the times that we go out to eat, I'll always find hair in my food, because I look.
People will think, it's just food that falls in.
Right.
This is actually listed as an ingredient. It's called L-cysteine. And how do you consume L-cysteine? In bagels, cakes, and usually other baked goods. Believe it or not, this compound made from human hair or duck feathers is actually used as a flavor enhancer. L-cysteine is pretty common. Don't be surprised if you've already eaten some today. But when you're a food engineer and you're deciding, you're a food inventor, how do you go from... let's make a really good bagel too. Let's put some hair to make some really good bagels.
Do you think it's something that is extracted out of the hair? Like, I'm for some reason right now less grossed out by the duck feathers. Like, I'm okay with the duck feather, I think. But human hair kind of grosses me out.
Good point, because you would eat a duck.
Right.
You could go, we're in New York City right now. You could go steps from here and order a very fancy, expensive duck dinner.
Exactly.
All right, the next one, coal tar, listed under ingredients as food coloring. How do we consume it? Almost any artificially dyed food.
And there are so many things that have artificial...
Everything. Anything with a color in it has artificial coloring.
Right.
Most foods don't have any inherent colors to it, and they have to make it look good so you would want to buy it and eat it. When manufacturers began making synthetic food coloring about 120 years ago, they relied heavily on coal tar, the byproduct of carbonized coal. Although the food industry has mostly phased out the product.
Mostly.
The alternative isn't much better. Oil. That's disgusting.
Gross. Why do they do that?
Wow.
Are we being poisoned?
Yes.
Is this like...
Hey, we're all sick. Maybe, you know, this is not good. This makes you not want to eat.
This makes me want to start a farm and, you know, growing my own stuff and only eating greens.
Really? Your own sustainable farm?
My own the Stoffo's sustainable farm.
Hey, where's Chris? Oh, Christina's in the backyard tending to the corn this morning.
She's picking the tomatoes.
Wow. The third one, here's one that's lovely. Now, I've been told this was poisonous even if you look at it. Antifreeze. Listed under ingredients as propylene glycol. How do we consume
dressing?
Salad dressing?
Come on.
So a little Prestone with your Italian vinaigrette. Propylene glycol is commonly used as an antifreeze, but less toxic than ethylene glycol, a similar product, and can also be found in salad dressings as a thickening agent.
What happened to flour?
What about flour? And how many thick salad dressings do you know? I don't know many. But why would they even think about antifreeze?
That's the thing. I don't know. This is a conspiracy.
Yes.
Can I bring it to a conspiracy level right now?
Yes.
Are we being poisoned by our country?
Maybe. You never know. Uh-oh.
I just put a target on my back. Never mind.
America Weekend investigates... the poisoning of the country due to antifreeze in your salad dressing.
When you see number four, flame retardant, that's known as brominated vegetable oil. How do you consume flame retardant, Ed?
Citrus flavored soda.
Yeah.
Well, give me a Fanta and a fire extinguisher.
Sorry.
Something called vegetable oil might seem unassuming in food production, but active ingredient bromine is widely used as a flame retardant in furniture, and it can be toxic. High levels of consumption may be tied to impaired neurological abilities and onset puberty.
Huh.
So if you got four-year-olds walking around with deep voices, they're drinking too much orange soda.
Cut the soda out.
But they will not burst into flames, thank goodness. Here's a good one. Number five, and again, these are disgusting things you didn't know you've been eating your whole life. Biodiesel additive. listed under ingredients as tertiary butyl hydroquinone.
Uh-huh.
And how do you consume it? In chicken nuggets.
Why is it specific to chicken nuggets, though?
I don't know. You know, what if I had a drumstick?
Well, you know, I was always very curious about chicken nuggets because it's not like they just cut a piece off of a chicken breast and, oh, there's your nugget. Where is this nugget coming from and what procedure?
Beaks. Lips. It's all. It's the parts of the chicken that you wouldn't normally want to eat, I would imagine. Oh. Right? TBHQ is not just disgusting. It can be highly dangerous, too. This synthetically created preservative is used in everything from bubble gum to nail polish to cheese crackers. Well, we're really going across the spectrum there. Unfortunately, the stuff is so toxic that just 1 gram of it could make you ill. Nail polish to cheese crackers.
I'm very confused by this.
Yeah, here's the thing. How do you invent the use of these things? By trial and error or by mistake? Uh-oh, we accidentally put some biodiesel additives in there.
But look at that chicken nugget.
Oh, it looks quite tasty. Eat it. It's fine. It's all good.
Who's testing this out?
I don't know. People that don't know what they're eating.
Exactly. Exactly.
The next one. This is an interesting
one.
Sand. Now, you wouldn't think that sand would pop up anywhere in the food chain. Listed under ingredients as silicone dioxide, how do we consume sand in salts, soups, and more?
And more.
I like how more. More can mean anything. Silicone dioxide can be added to foods as an anti-clumping agent.
All right.
And is often used to control humidity. If a soup tastes a little gritty, now you know why.
You know,
because there's sand in it.
This doesn't gross me out. Because you go to the beach and, a wave wipes you out and you have sands in your mouth, everywhere else.
You accept the consumption of sand if you're going to eat a picnic on the beach.
Yeah,
even
exactly.
Even if you're on the boardwalk on a breezy day,
right,
you're going to have sand in your cotton candy.
That's true.
How about this one? Jet fuel additive. Feeling a little fast today and want to just fly off the handle? I guess this is why. Listed under ingredients as butylated hydroxythiolide, something or other.
BHT.
For those of you at home.
It's in cereal?
Oh, wow. So there's jet fuel in my sugar smacks. Any other cereal.
Okay, so we've all been told that antioxidants are good for us, but some are certainly better than others. BHT falls into the others group.
Oh, I don't like that.
This antioxidant properly helps keep foods fresh for longer, so it's a preservative.
Yes.
Okay, so as long as you're fine with consuming the same chemical compound found in petroleum products, your bran flakes can stay crunchy for weeks.
So, all right, so in other petroleum products, but I'm not going to smear Vaseline on my cornflakes, so I'm not comfortable with that either.
This is so gross.
So there is jet fuel in my kids' cereal. That is not good.
Are you writing all of these down?
This is going to be quite interesting. I would love to be a fly on the wall at the supermarket the next time Ms. Stoffo goes in because she's like, is there borax?
Excuse me. Do you know what you're selling here?
Can I get the one without the jet fuel additive? Thank you.
Thank you.
Number 8 is borax, listed under ingredients as E285.
Sorry. Anything that has an ingredient E285,
yes,
put down. Because doesn't that just sound...
Experimental. Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't sound good.
Continue.
How we consume it. Caviar. All right. I'm never going to eat this. All right. I'm not in that social strata.
No, thank you.
Where I'm eating the caviar. Borax, the well-known home cleaning agent, can also be found as a food preservative in caviar, although it is banned from most foods here in the U.S. Imported caviar preserved with E285 can still be sold here. All right.
Okay.
The last one we talked about before we went on the air, because it's one of those things you look at it and you think, wait a minute, let me get my glasses and put them on.
Was this a typo?
And then when you see it and you look at each other and your mouths hang open, it's because, yes, folks, hide the kids, tell the neighbors, warn the everybody else, beaver anal secretions.
Grossies.
Listed under ingredients as castoreum. How we consume it, vanilla-flavored treats. Even if castoreum, a liquid found in castor sacks near a beaver's situation might not sound tasty, it is widely used as a substitute for vanilla flavoring. How do you go from being on the rear end side of a beaver to thinking, you know what, that's going to make one heck of a vanilla wafer?
But that's the thing. It's like, how do they know that a vanilla flavor comes out of this part of a beaver? It's strange to me.
You know
what is going on? Okay, and think about it. Just think about it.
Yeah.
How many things have this vanilla flavoring?
Lots.
Cookies, cakes.
Think about, so all the stuff you make. Oh, add a little vanilla.
Vanilla. Now, you know, we talked about this too. You go to the supermarket, you have the brand name vanilla extract,
yes,
and you have the generic.
The dollar spice
vanilla, you know, extract. That's substitute. Is that Is that that?
Well, now when you go in...
I am so appalled right now.
Now when you go into the supermarket and you see like there's a brand name called Back of the Beaver, you'll know why. But here's the most interesting thing. There had to have been a Lewis and Clark in this whole thing. Someone had to try this to be the first one. But who would be the person, first of all, to think, you know what? I think that might taste good, too. Hey, Jim, come on over here and taste this because this thing might work out. I would love to have either the person who designed it or Jim on the show. Next time you're having yourself a good cannoli, maybe.
Ooh.
See, that I knew I would get a reaction when I said that.
You just ruined cannolis.
You will never eat a cannoli again for the rest of your life.
Ice cream.
Ice cream. That's right. Vanilla
yogurt.
Ice cream. Yogurt. Think of all the things that you put vanilla extract into. Almost any recipe.
Cheesecake.
Cheesecake. It's all ruined. Brought to you by the backside of a beaver. See, that's what I love about this show.
Oh, boy.
Not only are we informative, we have fun with it
as
well.
That's true.
There are millions of people across this country swearing off anything with vanilla extract for the rest of their lives.
I'm so sad.
Oh, my. Stay with us a lot. You know, go get yourself a nice snack during the break, folks.
Go get yourself a nice citrus-flavored soda.
Yummy.
And a yogurt.
Yes. And when you see the beaver, say hello. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Linda had to drive her two small children and her sister's children to a surprise birthday party. She became concerned when three child safety seats took up the entire back seat. She knows by law no kids under six can ride in the front seat, but the back was full. So she had no other choice but to put her one-year-old in his safety seat in the front. But on the way to the party, an officer pulled Linda over and gave her a citation. What was the charge? Stay tuned for the final verdict. If the back seat is full of children under 12, then it is legal to put a child in the front seat. Linda's citation was because she chose the wrong child. Under no circumstances can a one-year-old or child weighing less than 20 pounds be allowed to ride in the front seat. And that's the final verdict.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. A lot of motorcycles are fast. Some are faster than others. Somewhere near the very top, one machine which will catapult the rider to 60 miles an hour in under 2.5 seconds. Say hello to our new level friend. Today on American Biker Minute.
The Movie Man 6-second DVD review starts now.
A timely, important biopic in one of the best movies of the year. If you have a dream, march to see Selma. I mean,
6-second reviews are brought to you by Marvel's Avengers: Age of Ultron, now playing in theaters.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. At 386 pounds light, this 998cc bike cranks out in excess of 200 horsepower. 190 straight out of the box. Dudes with knowledge will be able to make it run even faster. Made by the company Harley-Davidson couldn't get rid of fast enough. F4 RC models. MSRP at 42 large. Italian maker MV Agustus F4 RC. Add asphalt and rock. Biker Minute, your passport to the open road.